Once more, open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. We'll be rereading this passage that we read this morning to conclude the message that we started. Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 17. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle in no wise will pass from the law until all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men, so he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Let us pray. Dear Lord, as we come before you this morning, or this evening, Lord, we're so very thankful for this day and for the privilege we had together. And Lord, I just pray as we once again look into this passage of Scripture, dear Father, that you speak to our hearts and cause us, dear Lord, to see what we have and what's been given to us, and what a privilege it is, Lord, to be able to have that word and to follow it. And dear Lord, I pray that you'd help us to further understand the blessing that is ours, to be able to be recipients of that word. And Lord, that we wouldn't get caught up and tangled up into the pitfalls that comes, Lord, when we allow our flesh to come in. Lord, there be one that's lost, I pray this is the time you speak to their hearts and draw them unto yourself. And dear Lord, what you do, we'll thank you and praise you for these things we do ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The subject we'd like to look at, or continue looking at this afternoon, is Christ, the fulfillment of the law. Christ, the fulfillment of the law. And we began, we saw what the purpose of the law was. We looked at the next step after we looked at what the purpose would be, the confirmation of his purpose. And now we're down to the completion of his purpose, where Jesus had said that he had come to not to destroy but to fulfill the law, and that he would accomplish that fact, that nothing was going to happen, nothing would take place that would hinder him or keep him from fulfilling the law or fulfilling the purpose for which he came. You know, that all the word, every bit of it, everything that had been proclaimed, would be fulfilled in its entirety and completely just as it had been given. He said that not one jot or tittle would fail. Now the jot and the tittle were the smallest points of grammatic markings in the Hebrew. They said it would be very comparable in our English to saying that dotting of the I and crossing of the T was probably the slightest marks that we have. So this was pointing out that even the most minute portion of the law, even the most part of the easiest thing we could look over and pass over, none of it, not the largest, not the smallest, would pass away or not be done. And that shows us, beloved, how important the Word of God is. It is precious. It is important. It's not a byword. It's not something that we can read and decide do we want to follow or not. It's not something that we can read and decide is it important or not. It's not something that we can read and decide for ourselves, should we go with it or should we not. No, this is the Word of God, period. Not the Word of man, not the opinion of man, not the thoughts of man. It is the Word of God. And since it is His Almighty Word, then, beloved, we are not in any position to do anything to follow it. That's the only thing that we can do. It's the only thing that we should expect to do. Rather than trying to argue with God, which is absolutely a waste of time. Now, let's take just a minute to see what this reveals. It speaks very much about things considered or concerning the Word of God. It talks about the preservation of the Word. Jesus very plainly said, without any hesitation at all, he stated that the Word would endure. God will preserve His Word. That is in light of all the other perversions of His Word that's out there, His Word is still preserved. That is in light of all the ideas and opinions to take away and try to add a little here and take a little there to give an idea about the Word of God. No, the Word of God in its impurity, or in its purity rather, has and shall endure. Nothing is going to change that. Nothing is going to take it away. This is an entirely different study. We talk about the preservation of the Word and His will. But we don't have time to take an adequate look at it. But be rest assured that God's Word will endure when all else is gone. When heaven and earth will pass away, His Word will still be here. When all the ideas of man will pass away, His Word will be here. When this heaven or from this earth will be destroyed and the new heaven and earth will be created, His Word will still be here. Nothing will change. It will still be here exactly as it is now. Now, every so often we come across things that are a new revised edition of this, a new revised edition of that. And generally, we come across a revised edition of something that either they have added things to it, or they may come across something that they found was incorrect and they'll change it, or they'll take something out to make it correct. No additions, no corrections made to this Word of God. It is pure, it is perfect, it doesn't need anything. Well, we can't say that about much today, can we? Much of what we have, much of what we claim that we cling to are things that we still need to have things with. And it's just the way it is in this world. The scoffers and the naysayers will pass from this life. Kings and all kingdoms will come and go. Economies will rise, economies will fall. But heaven and earth will not pass away, or shall pass away. But the Word of God shall never pass away. You know, we have something precious here that we can stand on. There is nothing that exists that has this promise that the Word of God does. Nothing. Now, I realize we have eternal life. I'm not saying anything about that. What I'm saying is that the Word of God, as it was from the time that it was uttered to today, to millions of years to come, it will be exactly the same as it is right now. I don't think we really appreciate that quite as much as we should. That is the blessing that we have here with the Word of God. It is forever settled in heaven and preserved in eternity. Matthew chapter 24, verse 35, the Bible says, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." Psalms 12, verses 6 and 7. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. What's he talking about? The Word of God, that's what he's talking about. Think about something. And you think about running something through a fire, you think of it as being something that would be pure. And to a certain degree, I suppose it is. But think about running something through a fire seven times. There will not be any grain, any minute part of anything that would not be pure after it went through the fire seven times. And yet this is what it's comparing the Word of God to, and how pure it is, and how all the impurities, well, I don't want to imply that there were any impurities in it, there was, but that's what it's likened to. It's kind of like they used to say that ivory soap was 99% pure. 99 to 99 one hundredths percent pure. Are you like me? Did you ever wonder what that other part was? But it was pure, and the Word of God is 100% pure in all ways. The perseverance of the Word. The scribes and Pharisees may have sought to hinder him and challenge his fulfillment to the Word, but they would not be able to do so. No matter how hard they tried, no matter how desperately they wanted to, they would never be able to stop or hinder his completion of the Word of God. The scribes and the Pharisees were men of a lot. They had a lot of power. They had a lot of prestige. There were a lot of things that they could do. But that was one thing that they were out of their league when they were trying to go up against the Lord. God had provided His Word, and that Word would persevere. No matter how much they opposed the Lord, no matter how much they tried to hold Him back, no matter how much they tried to hinder what He was doing, in the fulfillment of the Scripture, the Word would prevail. Without exception, the Word would prevail. The world still sings a hymn to the Word of God and the furtherance of the gospel. It's like every time you turn around, there's something coming out against trying to make it harder to be able to spread the Word of God. There's places you can't do it, and things you can't do, and stuff you can't say, and so forth and so on. But they will never stop it. It will continue to go on, because that is God's plan for it to go over, for it to be done. Every promise that God ever made, every single one of them will be kept. Every prophecy that He proclaimed, every single one of them will come to pass, or they have already come to pass, but there'll not anything be left out. Every judgment, every warning in the Bible reveals will be brought, the Bible reveals will be brought about according to God's plan. So is the perfect plan of this book. The world may deny Him. The world may reject His Word. They may say that it's nothing more than a myth, or it's just superstition. It's foolishness. But the Word of God will preserve, or will persevere. They'll not be able to stop it. It may be disregarded. It may be neglected. But God will do what He said He would do. He said it, and that's it. We talked about it this morning. You know, the Word of God, I think, is terribly neglected anymore. And probably has been for a while now. But the Word of God is something that's just kind of cast aside. It's not even really given a second thought anymore. You know, we try, when something comes up, we try our friends, we try our acquaintances, we try people we know from church, we try those that may deny church, we try those who do everything else. And then as a last resort, after we've done everything else, we then will go to the Word of God and try to find answers. Or it should be the first place that we go to. And all will be fulfilled according to His divine plan. Psalms 119 and verse 89. Forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 25. But the Word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the Word which by the gospel is preached unto you. The Word of the Lord endureth forever. Let's look next, we'll look at the proclamation of the Lord, verses 19 20. He speaks of recklessness. Clearly, in the first part of verse 19, he's speaking of those who know the Lord. This is because it refers to their standing in the kingdom of heaven, where they are in their position. We must realize the importance here of what Jesus said. These were very, very strong words, and they offer a very, very clear warning as to position, what the results are going to be to individuals who do these things. You know, they're not going to do it and get by with it. We need to be careful that when we handle the Word of God, we do so as correctly as we possibly can. You know, we may make a mistake here and there. We may not be 100% accurate all the time, but we should endeavor to be. And when we find out that we are wrong, then we need to stop doing what we were and then keep going, go forward with the truth. You know, I would hate to be somebody who deliberately mishandled the Word of God and led people wrong. It's like this one that Brother Dale was talking about, that whatever the pastor says, that's it. Nobody ever looks to see if he's right. Nobody ever looks to see anything about it. If he says it, that settles it. That's a dangerous way to be, because somebody could really lead you in a place you don't want to go, and a place you don't need to be. I heard of a fellow who proclaimed to another person in the church that, that they were glad that they were there, but they were not welcome to ever say anything that would contradict him. Really? That's kind of a spot to, that's kind of a spot to take, isn't it? Question comes to my mind, I wonder how far I would get by if I declared that. You know, I'm glad everybody's here, but you better not say anything to contradict me. You know that? Yeah, that's about how far I figure to go. You know, you can't act that way. You have to make sure, because just as important as it is for me to make sure that I handle the word correctly, it's just as important for you to make sure that you follow it correctly, not just based off of what. That's one of the problems today. Most people today do not have convictions. They have a lot of conveniences, but not convictions. Why? They've never taken the time to look in the Scripture to see what the Scripture says for it to be a conviction. If what you believe is based off of what you've heard, or what you've been taught, or what somebody's told you, that's not a conviction, folks. That can be changed really quickly. But what you see the Scripture says, what you stand on because of what the Scripture says, that's a conviction, and that won't change because you know what the Bible says concerning it. There are those who know the Word of God and disobeyed it or ignored His teaching would be held accountable. It is one thing to not know. It doesn't excuse it, but it's one thing to not know. But it's altogether something different to know what the truth is and then just deliberately decide not to do it. Think about your own children. You know, you go a long way if your child does something wrong, and if they just don't know the difference, if something went wrong and they didn't know what would happen, you never told them, that's one thing. But what about when you told them and they know the difference and they do it anyway? That kind of ragged up a little anger, didn't it? And you would deal with the child accordingly, as you should. How much more so do you think God deals that way? How much more do you think God looks at us when we willfully sin? You know, I don't get this verse mixed up. Is there something in there about that, for if we sin willfully, after we know that there remains no more sacrifice for sin, in the verse I'm talking about, just because of that we do it willfully doesn't mean don't expect heaven and earth to move to get it taken care of, because God doesn't work that way. This warning was extended to those who misinterpreted the Word of God to others. There's no greater privilege in the world than to be able to look and open up a portion of Scripture and to discuss it with people. By the same token, there's no greater responsibility either. It's a staggering responsibility when you think about it. This warning was extended to those, again, who misinterpreted. And who was Jesus talking about here at the first part of this? The Pharisees, right? You know, they were ones who were most definitely misinterpreting what the Scripture was. They were guilty of this conduct. They had developed a form of religion consisting of traditions mixed with the Word. And that is nothing at all. It's nothing. It's empty. It's hollow. It's nothing. And the Bible talks about those who have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And what are we supposed to do for them people? To avoid them. Not have any, take any part, have any part with them. They often ignore what the true teaching of the Word is. And the passage was there. So what does this mean to us? Beloved, this is a somber rebuke to all of us, but especially to those who handle and teach the Word of God. We better be sure, we better make positive that we have rightly divided the Word and are not teaching contrary to the whole counsel of God. best way to make sure of that is to make sure whatever thought that you're going to develop, is you better make sure that you can find it in more than one spot in the Bible, more than just that one passage you're looking at, because Scripture is not a private interpretation. You can find it throughout the Scriptures, can't you? It's not just there in one spot. We need to make sure that what we're dealing is something that we can find. We must guard against seeking to manipulate the Word to fit our ideas or desires. You know, we talked this morning about going out and redeeming the time. I would advise you to try to use that to the state trooper when he pulls you off for speeding and asks you why you were driving so fast. You were redeeming the time. He's not going to really care about that. I remember a fellow, a preacher, was telling me he had to go clear across town to pick up this person to bring to church. And he had made the trip all the way across town, and he gathered him up, and he was on his way back to church. He was running a little behind, so he was not letting any grass grow under his tires. And sure enough, he got pulled over. And when the policeman came up, and he asked him where he was going to in such a hurry, and he told him the whole thing, how he went, picked this lady up, was taking him to church, and this and the other. And he said, the policeman looked at him and said, you know what? He said, you know, I could go to church on Sunday too if it wasn't for people like you out driving like you were. Ouch! That kind of stings a little bit, doesn't it? You know something else is going to sting? You know something else is going to hurt? Some, nobody here, over here now, but somebody that may be hearing what this is about to say, there'd be a whole lot of waiters, waitresses, and cooks that could go to church on Sunday if it wasn't for all church people go out after Sunday to eat. Am I telling you the truth?
Yep.
If it wasn't everybody going out to eat after church on Sunday morning, a lot of people could go to church. That's just, hey, that's plain, folks. You know what? I can even take it another stretch further. Man, I'm feeling froggy this evening. Stephen done hurt my feelings a while ago. How many of us are so busy on Saturdays, that we can't get to the grocery store on Saturday, we got to go on Sunday? Is what I'm saying right? You know, we tend to forget little things like that, but it doesn't change the fact of that. That's just how it's still true, regardless of how it is. And we need to take a long look at our own practices sometimes to see what's behind what we're doing, and see if what we're doing is right or not. Manipulating the Word to fit our ideas or our desires. You see it all the time. God has said what He meant, and He meant what He said. I surely do not want to stand accountable to the Lord for willfully disobeying His Word or being willfully deceptive in my teaching of the Word. I got enough other things to worry about without having that standing over my head. God's Word is not given as a tool for men's devices. It's not what it was there for. It was given so we could measure our life up to where it should be. It's given so that we could live our lives as we ought to live and act the way that we ought to act. Many today build doctrine around Scripture that was taken and lifted completely out of context. And it's a crying shame when you see it done. You know, the whole idea and notion of baptismal regeneration is based on Scripture that's been lifted out of context and not fully explained. It is right there. The whole idea of speaking in tongues in church is based off Scripture that's been lifted out of context. and maybe say what it never said. And we could go on and on and on of false teachings, false ideas that's been propagated that is based on scriptures and lifted out of context. God's word is something that is pure and is true. And we're talking even about this in light of God's law. That has not changed. That is still perfect and pure. The problem, we said this morning, is with us. We must seek to live according to His word and teach it within its context, rightly dividing the word of truth. I generally try, I may not make it all the time, but I generally try to make sure that if I take a passage of scripture and just use it as a springboard to go into a thought somewhere, to try to get the context of the verse before I do so, so that I don't wrench it clean out of this proportion. He speaks of reward. Just there are those who are reckless with the word, there are those who are faithful to the word. And aren't you glad for those people that we heard down through the year that were faithfully proclaimed the word of God, that gave it to us in its purity? These are those who seek to live by the word. They also endeavor to share it in truth and in uprightness. Those who are reckless with the word will stand accountable for the Lord. Those who are faithful to the word will be rewarded for their faithfulness. Beloved, we are entrusted with the word. And since we've been entrusted with the word, we have certain obligations associated with this word that we must adhere to and follow to. Keeping in mind that Jesus, as he was addressing here, was talking about the purity of the word, talking about the purity of the law, and how what his purpose was and how he came. And in closing, I just want to mention the most holy looking, righteous acting, and religious people in Jesus' day would have been the Pharisees, would they not? To look at them, you thought they have to be religious individuals. Well, in our last verse, it says, "For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." And remember the verses right before that, he was talking about your placement in the kingdom. Those that were mishandled it, they would just be in the body, they'd be in the least. Those that handled it truthfully and faithfully, they would be at the most. This bunch was as simple as said, "You're not getting in." Why? Because they're lost. They're as lost as they can be. Their spirituality is based on worldliness. Their spirituality is based on the things that they endeavor to try to glean out of the world. And beloved, that has always got folks in trouble, and it's not going to change now. May God help us to keep the word in its purity, in as God gave it, and may we never be found deceitful in God's word in any way. Let us pray.